Welcome to All Sides with Dan Fisher. We're still here at the Columbus Public Health Farmers Market at 240 Parsons Avenue, right in front of the Columbus Public Health Building, for a special live remote broadcast. From zucchinis to berries, farmers markets offer a wide array of fresh fruits and vegetables that can enhance any menu, but the sheer number of choices can overwhelm. This hour, we're going to talk about how to navigate the farmers markets to help you create great food. Coming up a little later, we're going to talk, joining us now is Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Robin, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
We decided on a couple of questions for our listeners. What's the one thing you bought at a farmer's market that you bought because it was pretty or interesting, but you weren't really sure how to cook it and what to do with it? Robin and I agreed we've both done that because, you know, we're curious. What about you? Give us a call and tell us, and maybe we can help you out. Or say we, that's a euphemism for Robin. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can use our Facebook page if you'd rather post the question or comment there. I have another question. If there's something that you only cook in the summer, make in the summer, because it's the only time you have access to that fresh fruit or vegetable, tell us what your favorite summer recipe is with fresh fruit or vegetables. 614-292-8513. So we're in the middle of summer, although I'm not sure how we define it anymore. Okay.
Especially this year.
Exactly. It doesn't look like things are going to get much cooler in the near future. It's supposed to get up to 96 today, although it's very, very pleasant here now.
It feels great.
When you turn on the stove, it just makes things worse. The grill is preferred for a lot of people because at least you could be outside. On the other hand, it's been hard grilling this summer, too. It's
very
been so hot.
Hard. You know, I hate to admit this, I didn't even get my grill out until last week. Part of it, my daughters graduated from high school, and so we had put the grill in the garage to just get it out of the
way. Pretty the place up.
Right. And then it was too hot. I just kept thinking, we'll get the grill out. And then I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to stand out in 95-degree weather and turn, you know, the big hot grill on. Wouldn't do it.
On the other hand, I've used the grill sometimes when it would ordinarily be too hot because I didn't want to stink up the house with something like the bacon thing. I've really got into doing the bacon on the grill now.
Oh, no, I haven't done that. Tell me, what do you do?
We have a side burner.
Okay.
And you just take, you know, our heaviest frying pan and you just make it out there.
So
and
still
then,
on a frying pan, not
yeah,
actually on
yeah,
the,
oh,
the
yeah.
grill racks. Okay.
I just cook it outside because, you know. Bacon's great when you're eating it, but 3 hours later when you're
so
coming
much.
Home from a shot, no, it's not very good at all. So, but now things seem to be a little more temperate.
Mm-hmm.
Grill food.
Grill,
anything?
Oh, you know, your grill is good for anything, and I mean that literally. Of course, you've got your meats, chicken, seafood. If you're doing something like shrimp, you probably want to put it on skewers. Just makes it a little easier to hold on to. I grill all kinds of fruits and vegetables. I'll even grill salad. If you get nice, sturdy lettuce.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean by sturdy lettuce?
Well, like romaine. I mean, you're not going to take, you could take iceberg. I just wouldn't bother. You couldn't really do spinach because it's too soft.
Mm-hmm.
Arugula is too soft. But good, sturdy spinach ahead of radicchio, of romaine. And cut it in half, cut it into quarters, brush it with a little olive oil, a little salt and pepper, and then you put it on. Just briefly, until it gets that nice charred flavor and it starts to wilt just a little bit. And then you get it off. We made a salad not too long ago, which it ran in the To Your Health column. And we did everything grilled, including the lettuces, and then chopped it all up and put it with a great vinaigrette. It was delicious. It gives you that smoky outdoor flavor, and it's completely vegetarian, unless you add bacon, which you could.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org.
Morning.
Jade from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. I make a lot of ratatouille during the summer because all the fresh foods from the farmer market, it's real easy. Just chop everything up like pepper, the colorful ones, you know, the yellow and orange. They make it look pretty and appetizing. And zucchini and onion and tomato and fresh basil.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stir fry them up and put a little bit of chicken broth in it and then stew it for a little bit. It's very good.
So you grill it first or you fry it first?
I still try it first.
Try it first? So do you do your vegetables? This is the big question about ratatouille, the big controversy, if there could be that. Do you do your vegetables together or do you do them individually?
I start with the carrot first because it takes a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the vegetable, as soon as the carrot is a little about, you know, a minute or two, then
right.
I pour the rest of the stuff in and just stir them up.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, sorry, go ahead.
And if you want to add protein, white cannellini beans or kidney beans if you want to make it more colorful.
Right.
But there's no, you know, I use chicken broth, good chicken broth for stock.
And that's a great idea. Ratatouille is one of those perfect summer things. You can toss it with pasta. You can put it on toasted, ciabatta bread. It's just fantastic. And it really is an only summer thing because you need the freshness.
And it's colorful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
very.
It's very pretty. You can just, and mushroom. Oh, yeah, you got to have mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this was going to happen. I'm getting really hungry.
It's bad enough we're sitting here with this food.
I knew
all
it. I don't know why I do this to myself. Jade, thanks for your call. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Take care. If you're listening and you want to join the conversation, we're talking about the best foods to eat and prepare in the summer. What do you use from the farmer's market that you don't make any other time of the year because you want that freshness? 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And if you've picked up a mystery fruit or vegetable and you're really not sure what to do with it, give us a call and tell us. We'll kind of work with you on that. Right, Robin Davis?
Right, absolutely.
Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch, is with me right now. Once again, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So we've talked about ratatouille. What about cold, refreshing summer dishes?
Well, yesterday, in fact, we did a section that was all, the main story at least, was no-cook foods that you can make that are light and refreshing, like gazpacho. Gazpacho is one of those wonderful things. It's sort of like pureed ratatouille. I use tomatoes. I'll do a tomato one, tomatoes, onions, always a little bit of vinegar, garlic, and then just get it nice and cold. The other version, and the one that I ran yesterday, was a watermelon gazpacho. Now, you have to be in the camp where you can put salt on watermelon. Some people are, some people aren't.
A lot of people are getting into that, though, now.
Yeah.
Sort of a renaissance for watermelon, I felt lately.
When you were growing up, did you put salt on your watermelon?
My dad did, and I thought he was weird. I would never have done that.
Exactly.
Yuck.
Mine, too. About half my family did. Well, now it can be savory. You talk about, there are some restaurants where they'll serve watermelon steaks, quote unquote, right? And I'm like, really? But it's delicious. And apparently, and I haven't tried this, if you grill a big slab of watermelon, it really takes on some savory flavors.
If you grill?
Yes. I know.
I'm sorry. I was distracted by something, and I didn't try. Okay. So do you
A little bit of olive oil, a little salt
good
and pepper.
Olive.
You know, get the peel off, get the rind off, and cut them in big, thick slabs, and put them on until you get your grill marks.
Like a couple inches.
Yeah, a couple inches. Now you don't have to worry like
steak
or fish.
You said take the rind off.
Take it off so it can even end up looking like a steak, of course, because it's such a bright pink red color.
Right.
And then you put it on. You get your grill marks on. Get it off, maybe drizzle it a little more olive oil. And the salt and pepper is really key when you do that. You're kind of tempering the sweetness, the natural sweetness of watermelon with the salt. It's weird, but it's delicious.
When you were talking about gazpacho, you mentioned vinegar, and you had a tone in your voice, which was like, and don't forget the vinegar. Why? Why is vinegar important?
It really, again, it's cutting that sweetness. And it's important with both tomatoes and watermelon. You want to have that real bright note. And that's what vinegar, preferably sherry vinegar, if you have it. Red wine vinegar will work in a pinch. The Spanish people really know what they're talking about when they make their gazpacho. And so they always have that sherry vinegar. And it adds that sour note, that tart note, that complements all the other flavors in your vegetables.
What about white gazpacho? Mm-hmm. What is that? What goes into that?
Usually that's one made with grapes and almonds, and sometimes people put milk in it, and that's sort of a completely different animal. But again, you will find that the recipes either have a little bit of white wine or a little white wine vinegar in it. And that's a completely different thing, and it's not one you see very often in this country.
It's a sweeter fare, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Okay. It's kind of like the others. It's, you know, in the range, watermelon's going to be your sweetest, tomato's going to be next, and then your white one would be sweeter than that, but still not what I would call sweet. It wouldn't be like a dessert soup, if you've heard of those.
Right,
people
right.
Eat berry or desserts or soups.
From Dave on Facebook, he writes, I have way, all capital letters there, too many cucumbers, and I don't want to make pickles. What can I do with them? First of all, you can't make pickles with just any old cucumber.
Not very well, no.
But he doesn't want to make pickles. He doesn't know what to do with them. What are your ideas?
I put them in everything, just about. Thinly slice them, put them on sandwiches. You know, you can do it with a little bit of hummus, a little bit of feta cheese. You can make a cucumber relish, and this is definitely a made-to-order thing, but chop up some cucumber and put it in your normal salsas. Tomatoes, jalapenos, put the cucumber in there for a little cooling refresher. Here's something kind of weird that I'm getting into lately. Put them in a green smoothie. Take your spinach and then put in some cucumber. Put in cantaloupe or watermelon, a banana, a little bit of yogurt. Puree that up. Really delicious. And cucumber soup. Cold cucumber soup with dill, a little bit of sour cream. Well, absolutely fabulous.
So you're pureeing the cucumber?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a gazpacho again.
It is kind of like that, except that you're not putting anything red in it.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, really delicious. You can use them so many ways. And then there was one other thing that I did recently. We used cucumber juice in Bloody Marys. You take the cucumber, puree it, skin and all, and then strain it. And then you get this beautiful pale green color, and use that as part of your vegetable juice in Bloody Marys. Really good.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good. You know, I was thinking you could use cucumber as a garnish for a Bloody Mary.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen spears of cucumber.
Exactly. Exactly. Really good. Really nice. In place of the celery. It works really beautifully. Yeah.
My guest is Robin Davis. She's food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. We're here at the Columbus Public Health Farmers Market at 240 Parsons Avenue, right in front of the Columbus Public Health Building, for a special live remote broadcast. If you have a question or comment for Robin Davis, we're talking about what to cook from the farmer's market. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Go to the Facebook page and post your question or comment there. When we return, we'll get to some calls and take your questions. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Wade Goodwin, coming up on the next On Point, The Wall Street Journal's David Wessel on how to tackle America's ballooning federal debt crisis. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. 83 degrees with sunshine in downtown Columbus, sunny skies, a high of 94 today. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low of 68 degrees. More sunshine on Friday with a high of 96. Clouds and a slight chance of rain Friday night, a low of 72. And looking ahead to the weekend, partly sunny with a chance of showers and a high of 90 on Saturday.
Support for 89.7 comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.
All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're having a special live remote broadcast from the Columbus Public Health Farmers Market at 240 Parsons Avenue. If you want to join us here in person, hurry up. We're right out in front of the Health Department building on Parsons. If you would like to join us by telephone, you can call 614-292-8513. We take cell phone calls as well. And you can email us at allsides@wosu.org/allsides and go to the Facebook page if you want to post a question or comment there. With me still, Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Once again, Robin, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
Kathy in Dublin, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Kathy, there. Now you're on the air. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I am an obsessive gardener, and I grow tomatoes like crazy in the summer. And that is one thing that I won't eat in the winter. I just don't like winter tomatoes. So something my husband and I love to make in the summer, we grow pretty much all heirlooms. And the names of them are so much fun, like Aunt Ruby Green and Kellogg's
Mortgage
Breakfast.
Mortgage Lifter,
Cherokee Purple, Marianne Peace, you know, Ponderosa, all those wonderful colors of really, really flavorful tomatoes. And we'll get a broiler pan, put down some foil, cut tomatoes about a third to a half inch thick, and put all those circles out on the pan. And the simplest recipe is just olive oil and Parmesan cheese. And then pop them under the broiler until they melt in.
You got a double there, Kathy.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
You can pretend it's a pizza, and you can put on those, you know, some of these tomatoes are big. So you can pretend it's a pizza, and you can build your broiler with your olive oil, your cheeses, your herbs, maybe pepperoni.
I'm thinking chives or some basil, or maybe a little
all
bacon. I don't know. Bacon. Everything's better with bacon. Yeah.
And we will sit down and with a loaf of crunchy, you know, French bread and a bottle of wine, and just polish off a pan of these, and then make another one. And it is wonderful. And it's the first thing I do when I get enough tomatoes to cover a pan.
That sounds delicious. And easy. It really does.
Yeah, you can use all your different cheeses. Oh, and I make pesto, so you can start with your tomato and then a little pesto and then do all the other stuff on top of that, and it's delish.
And you do this with any kind of tomato, like everything from aroma to a beefsteak? I do.
I mean, a beefsteak.
You sound apologetic, and you should not be sounding apologetic right now.
A beefsteak covers more acreage, so you're not slicing as much. But if all I've got is cherry tomatoes, I'll do it with cherries.
That sounds good, too.
Yeah. That's all I have right now are cherry tomatoes and some early girl yellow, the golden early girls.
It'll work.
Got some of those right now.
As long as they've, you know, if they've got full flavor, you are going to love it.
Yeah. Well, gosh, Kathy, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Great show. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, as one of my interns said to me in the internal chat, so hungry now.
Yes.
If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org, or go to the Facebook page and post your question or comment there. We're talking about all those fun things to make and eat in the summer when there is the farmer's market at hand. We're at the farmer's market right now at the Columbus Public Health Farmer's Market at 240 Parsons Avenue. It's the first of three that are scheduled for this summer, this Thursday, next Thursday, and the Thursday after that. If you want more information, go to our website at wosu.org/allsides, and we'll have a link for you there to learn more about it. Still with us, Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Let's talk about burgers.
Okay.
Burger usually refers to hamburger, which is a meat.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of the burger on the bun kind of a thing has taken on all whole life of itself. It's not just beef, and it's not even just the veggie burger. It's a lot of things.
You can make just about anything a burger. Kathy from Dublin was talking about those tomatoes, and you could absolutely make that a burger by that definition. But people do all kinds of things, and like you said, it's not just meat. A few weeks ago, I ran a recipe for a veggie burger that's rice and lentils and beets, and the beets turn it this beautiful purple color.
So you just chop it all up. What do you pulled it together with?
A little bit of egg, and if you're vegan, then you could use peanut butter or almond butter, and then whatever spices you want it spicy, throw in, you know, some pepper flakes, and not, you could do fennel seeds or garlic powder or fresh garlic, and the key on that is getting that nice grill flavor on it. Then you get kind of a smokiness, but you can also do tuna burgers or salmon burgers, you know, ground meat that you want, you can turn into a burger, and it's pretty awesome. Sometimes I think burgers are so good you don't need a bun. You know, just go with what you've got there.
Exactly. Mm. We have an email from Ben. He says, do you like feta cheese? Most people like watermelon. Try crumbling feta over a watermelon slice and enjoy, trust me, a great summer treat.
I agree 100%. 100%. It's an amazing combination. A little bit of red onion with it, too. Mm. A little olive oil, salt, and pepper. And it's a great salad.
The feta has just that little bit of, there is a salty.
There is a saltiness to it and
to
a tanginess.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely delicious.
I was going to ask you earlier, watermelon salsa.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading a recipe. I think it was on Facebook this morning about that.
And I think that that's a great idea, too. I think look at tomato applications. What do you do with tomato? Can you do it with watermelon? Watermelon salsa is terrific. And you can take it a completely sweet route and do other fruits. You could do, you know, cantaloupe and honeydew and peaches with it. Or take it that savory direction. Use watermelon with or without tomatoes, a little bit of jalapeno pepper, throw in some cilantro and lime juice. Lime juice will be what brings it together for you.
Ellen in Pickerington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Ellen.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I thought your conversation was very timely because I was just looking into services for my mother, who's elderly, and learned that the Ohio Department of Aging issues coupons for low-income senior citizens in $5 increments for a total of $50 to be used specifically at farm markets so that they can get fresh produce.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
How do you get them? I mean, where do you get them from?
I went onto the website for the Ohio Department of Aging, and you can look, and they have different locations depending on where your area throughout the state where you can actually pick them up.
Okay. All right. Well, let's try to post that website on our website at wosu.org/allsides so that if people are interested, they can check it out. Ellen, thanks for a great idea.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. You bet. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you want to join the conversation, we're talking about cooking with all the fresh produce and from the farmer's market. We're at the farmer's market right now down at the Ohio Health Department and Ohio Public Health Department, I should say. If you have a question or comment for my guest, Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We have an email from Frank. If you'd like to email us, it's allsides@wosu.org. And Frank writes, I have one of those new convection-type halogen cookers. It is wonderful. I cook many things that I would do on the grill in it. Makes great sweet potato fries and crispy bacon.
Oh, that sounds terrific. That's a great way to do it and in a lot less time, usually, with a convection. You do just have to adjust your timing, but that's a great idea. I'll tell you a funny story. I'm supposed to have a convection oven. We went to replace my ovens, and we found ovens that were a little less expensive than, it was around Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. The ovens were coming in. I had a bunch of guests coming, and the people brought the ovens, and they were the wrong one. The ovens were going to be delayed, and my husband went out to find ovens so that we could have Thanksgiving at our house. He found them that were he found some that were significantly less expensive and wasn't that great, except of course when they were installed that the price difference was because of the convection. So I still have traditional ovens, which I love very much, but we needed to have Thanksgiving that year. So
I have a convection oven in my microwave.
And I've heard about
that. What is the benefit of a convection oven?
The convection oven, what it does is it pushes the air around, the warm air around. So it works terrifically. Instead of just the air naturally rising, it makes everything cook more evenly and often more quickly. You have to be careful with some things like cakes, angel food cakes, things like that, muffins, because it can blow the top off of them. You know, it kind of makes them blow over because of the swirling air. But most convection ovens work pretty well for just about everything, or so I hear. Since I don't have them.
Rob and Carol, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Hi, thanks. I love the show. I listen all the time. On the road quite a bit, so I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call in and say that I have never liked tomatoes, ever. And listening to the show today is just killing me because my mouth is watering over something that I really do not like one bit. It's kind of strange.
Why do you think you don't like tomatoes?
I don't know. I've always tried them, and I thought maybe it was something that, you know, when I was younger that I would get over, maybe more of a mental thing, but every year or so I do try them again, and they just,
they don't do it for me. I love tomato soup. I love ketchup, but...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. When do you try the fresh tomatoes? What time of year are you trying them?
Usually just whenever someone in the family has some tomatoes that they think are really great. So I'm kind of ignorant to tomatoes because I don't like them. So
right.
I'm not really sure. But usually just whenever someone has a batch that they've grown and they think are particularly good, they always want me to try them. So...
Well, then, no doubt you're having them in the summer. A lot of times people try them, and it's April or it's March, and the tomatoes that you find then won't be good. In summer, they generally are. And then there's different kinds of tomatoes. There are some tomatoes that are just fantastic, little sweet tomatoes, and then there are the ones that are a lot more acidic. And so there might be a variety that you like, but, most of my family's the same way. They love ketchup, they love tomato sauce, but please don't put raw tomatoes in my salad.
So was it the discussion about the broiling the tomatoes and putting cheese on it? Is that what
yes,
got you going there?
Absolutely. When I heard that being talked about, it sounded delicious. But and maybe I'll come around. Maybe doing it that way. I've never had them prepared that way, so maybe that's something I'd like to try. But you were mentioning some of the sweeter varieties. What would be something to look for that would be more on the sweet side or the sweetest?
Look for little tiny cherry tomatoes, and even smaller ones that are yellow will be a little bit sweeter, a little less acidic. Those are delicious. But there are some cherry tomato varieties, and just talk to the people at the farmers market. I swear they're like candy. I will get a bag of them and take it back to my desk and just eat them like candy all afternoon and not feel guilty.
Well, I think I'm picking them every night to do something with them, but then I end up walking into the house empty-handed.
Well,
they don't quite make it in.
Well, thanks a lot for giving us a call, Rob.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call, and you all have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting today from the Columbus Public Health Farmers Market on Parsons Avenue, right in front of the Columbus Public Health Building. It's a special live remote broadcast, and my guest is Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513. John from Canal Winchester, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. Enjoying the show. Are there some easy ways to preserve vegetables and fruits for the winter without having to go through the canning process?
Yes, if you have a freezer especially, and some things work better than others. Sweet corn right now, which I'm looking at a big pile of sitting right across from us, take the corn, cut it off the cob, cook it a little bit if you like. I generally don't. Put it on a cookie sheet and then pop it in the freezer until it's frozen, and then you can put it into individual size bags. Works really great. You can just then heat it up in the microwave, throw a little butter, a little salt on it. You can do the same thing with bell peppers. Cucumbers do not do very well. I'm looking out here now and seeing what's there. You could do things like tomato sauce and cook the tomatoes, and then you could freeze it, and that works great. I think freezing is kind of that great alternative to canning. And then the same thing with berries. Take your berries, your blackberries, whatever, put them on a cookie sheet, pop them in the oven in the freezer till they get nice and frozen, then put them in freezer containers. and they are... they're really terrific that way. And the thing is, with that, they won't hold their shape necessarily, but they will be terrific in smoothies and things like that, and sauces.
I'm sorry, I was just distracted. thanks a lot, John.
Appreciate it, thanks.
I was distracted by...
Doran's Farm Market.
Doran's Farm Market. They brought over a ear of absolutely beautiful corn. I mean, really.
Yeah, it's fresh, it's not cooked, nothing. You're eating it.
I'm eating
probably
it completely raw,
morning.
And it's absolutely delicious. So thank you. I want to keep eating it, but that just doesn't work when you're on the radio. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. But I will finish it as soon as we're off the air. Let's hear from Kelly in Columbus. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Kelly.
Yes. I had a question on, we're growing bok choy, and our garden is going crazy. and I'm trying to figure out recipe ideas for something besides stir fry to use it in. Mm.
Well, and stir fry was going to be my first suggestion to you.
Could you grill it?
You could grill it, though, especially if it's a little bit bigger. You know, cut it in half, brush it with olive oil, a little salt and pepper, put it on until it just gets that nice grill mark and cooks down just a little bit. You can also braise bok choy. I mean, it means having the stove on a little bit longer, but put a little liquid, a little chicken stock, maybe some tomatoes in, and cook it down a little bit more, and it would be delicious like that, too. Does that help you?
Yeah, are you talking about the chicken stock? Doing soaking it in the chicken stock, like before I put it on the grill?
Actually,
or is that separate?
Well, you would cook it, not for the grill, but you would be cooking it on a stovetop, sort of like if you were doing ratatouille or long cooked green beans. Not enough to cover the bok choy, but enough that you have maybe an inch of liquid in the pan, and then you cook it down until it's very soft. You would do the same thing if you were doing kale. Look at things that you do with some of the heartier greens like kale or Swiss chard, and those are definitely things that you can do with bok choy.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Kelly, for that call. He reminded me of something that I decided to grow this year that I don't regret, but I regret growing as much as I did because it's taking over my garden. It's tomatillos. When I was buying my plants this spring, the friend I was with said, you better watch it. Those things really take over a garden. And she's right. But any ideas for tomatillos besides, the usual pico de gallo or salsa?
Well, I usually make a sauce with tomatillos. And it's beautiful because it's an uncooked sauce. You, of course, take off the papery skins, just throw them in whole or chopped with a little onion, a little jalapeno pepper, and blend it. And it's naturally thickened because of the tomatillos. And then use that for enchiladas.
Just fresh. Everything's uncooked.
That's exactly right. And you will have the best flavor. You'll be amazed at that. It's really delicious. Put it over chicken. Put it over fish. really nice.
All right. Well, yeah. That's good. I'll have something.
And you can freeze it. You could freeze it then and then enjoy it in the winter.
Oh, like you do pesto?
Yeah, it would be the same idea.
When you do pesto and you freeze it, I freeze it without the cheese.
I've done it with the cheese, and it doesn't.
Okay?
It does just fine. Because you've ground up the cheese, you're not really concerned with the texture of it. It does just fine. Yeah. Do you do the thing where you put it in an ice cube tray?
I have done that before.
Yeah. You put it in an ice cube tray, and then again, you freeze it, pop it out, and then you have just your little cubes you can use as much as you want. I tend to find that that's a little bit easier than having a whole container.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know? I break it down into portions.
Yeah.
There's different
nice.
Ideas. I wish I could find nice little sturdy little plastic. Ziplocs, but they're too big.
Yeah, I agree. And you do need littler ones than that. I agree. Yeah.
My guest is Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch, and we're talking about things to cook from, how to cook the stuff from, or not cook, as the case may be, from the farmer's market. We're at the farmer's market, the Columbus Public Health Farmer's Market on Parsons Avenue. It's the first of three farmers markets that the Columbus Public Health puts on during the summer. This Thursday, next Thursday, and the Thursday after that. If you want more information, you can go to our website at wosu.org/allsides. We'll have a link there for you. We'll also get the link up for the Ohio Department of Aging so you can check out that $50 voucher that they give out to low-income seniors. Check that out. See if that would work for you. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
To the women who say they are not feminists, Catelyn Moran asks,
what part of liberation for women is not for you? Is it the freedom to vote? The right not to be owned by the man that you marry?
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Moran about her new book, How to Be a Woman. It's a bestseller in Britain. She's a columnist for the Times of London. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Beginning Thursday night, that's tonight, join WOSU-TV for a special airing of the great Ken Burns documentary series, War. It's the story of the Second World War told through the personal accounts of a handful of men and women from four American towns. The war touched the lives of every family on every street in every town in America and demonstrated that in extraordinary times, there are no ordinary lives. Watch the acclaimed 7-part series War. It begins tonight at 9 on WOSU-TV.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Sherrington Group, financial planners and investment managers providing financial advice and client-focused solutions to help grow and preserve clients' wealth. The Sherrington Group, planning for success, managing for life at sherringtongroup.com.
84 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine and a high of 94 today, partly cloudy skies tonight, a low of 68. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and we're at the farm market today. It is the Columbus Public Health Farmers Market down on Parsons Avenue, if you want to stop by today or the next two Thursdays. If you want to give us a call and join the conversation with Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch, you can do that too. 614-292-8513. You can go to, you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You go to our Facebook page as well. We welcome your questions or comments and ideas for cooking with food that you buy and fresh in the summer. Mark in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
I have a pear tree in the backyard which produces a very small pear, not very juicy, and very, very hard. What's the way to use that type of pear?
You know, I would definitely recommend cooking that. Put a little bit of butter. Pears and butter are really good. And it sounds like maybe it's not very sweet either. So I'd probably throw in some sugar, yeah, and some maybe some cinnamon. And then cook it until it gets kind of that softness. And the other thing you can do, if you really don't find them edible, you can use them as a really great arrangement, a great, you know, a display on your dining room table. They can be great that way. But you could cook them, and you can also make kind of a butter with them, or like a pear sauce if you want to cook them down to the point where you can puree them. But it sounds like you'd really have to cook those for a long time for that.
Great.
Does that help, Mark?
I've also heard that you can make hard cider out of those type of pears.
We were going to talk about beverages.
This is very timely,
Mark.
I don't know how to do it, but I would think that you could. The thing about it is if they don't have a ton of flavor, you're going to have to get the flavor from somewhere. You know, if it really doesn't have like those beautiful nuances that, you know, Bartlett's or some of the other pears have, you're going to want to get that flavor from somewhere or get some flavor. And that would be my only concern about using those that way. But I haven't made pear cider myself. How about you?
No, but I had pear liqueur from France.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty fancy. Mm-hmm. So well, good luck, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye bye.
Bye bye. 614-292-8513 if you want to join the conversation. We'll talk about beverages as well.
Sure.
We're open to all things edible. Rachel in Columbus. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just had a quick comment. You can purchase small Ziploc bags at jewelry and craft stores for like eating.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You can get, they hold like 1 to 2 ounces, and you can get like 100 for $6 kind of thing. And they're really sturdy and you can freeze. I'd use them for like portion control on nuts and things.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Thank you. That is a wonderful idea. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yep.
Thank you.
Check out the craft stores.
Okay, good old craft stores. Mm-hmm. I'll get lost in one of those. I do that too.
Yep.
Rachel, thanks a lot.
No problem. Have a nice one.
And looks like we've started something. Kathleen in Worthington, you have an idea as well. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Hi. Basically, it's the same as Rachel's. They're pill containers that are small Ziploc bags, hold maybe 3 or 4 tablespoons. You get them in, like she said, in about, I think they come in a package of 50. But,
where do you get them?
The only one I can think of is on High Street near the university. They carry medical supplies.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
And they are they're reusable. They're very sturdy little bags. They're not like the sandwich size Ziplocs, you know,
exactly.
Flimsy. So,
and you know, they've
got to
be sanitary if they're used for pills. So,
yes. Yes.
Yeah, great. Exactly. That's a great idea, Kathleen. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome.
Gosh, I feel so good when I get
great
solutions.
Information.
Solutions. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about what to cook from the farmer's market. Give us a call. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org as well. We've talked about grilling salads. Let's do talk about, you know, drinks.
Okay.
As long as we got started on the hard cider.
Mm-hmm.
Punch.
Oh.
Summer punches?
Summer punches are great. Punch, by the way, is seeing this huge resurgence. You know, people are tending to make more punch, and summer's a great time to do it. Use your fruit juices. Those great. Take and you can make the juice yourself. You don't need a juicer. Take watermelon, puree it, you know, seedless watermelon preferably, and then strain out that juice. You've got beautiful juice. You can do the same thing with cantaloupe, and that's delicious. Cucumber works beautifully, and then you also have all these great herbs. Think about cucumbers and herbs together.
Like basil
like
and
basil
mint?
Or mint. Mint is the obvious one, but basil's a great idea. Rosemary can even be good. And then throw in your clear liquors. If you so desire, throw in gin or vodka. It'd be delicious. You can also make, you know, kind of a rum punch and put in, you know, your fall fruits. Put in some apples and pears. Really delicious.
And again, you're just pureeing them,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
straining them.
Right. And any of those would work. You definitely want your pears and apples. You're going to need some kind of acid to make sure that they don't turn brown. But yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, you know, smoothies, too. You can do that kind of approach, preferably without alcohol most of the time. Most of the time.
Right. And, well, let's see, hear from Jillian. She sent us an email. She says, now is the time of the year for prolific zucchini.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't we all start getting bags start appearing mysteriously on our front porches? August 8th is National Leave a Zucchini on Your Neighbor's Porch Day. I swear I didn't read that ahead of time. And I like to make zucchini boats. You can treat a zucchini like you would a pepper for stuffed peppers.
Great idea. Cook them either a little bit ahead, you know, scoop out the seeds.
Are we talking about these big zucchinis where it's more like, you know,
well,
an ocean liner?
Yeah, then it's a cruise ship.
Okay.
That's a zucchini cruise ship, not a zucchini boat. So, yeah, you could use the big ones if you like. But cut them in half horizontally. Scoop out the seeds. Season with a little salt and pepper. And then put in your fillings. If it only needs to be baked for a little while, you might want to cook the zucchini a little bit ahead of time. If you're going to cook it a little longer, go ahead and put your filling in, pop it in the oven. And you can also do them on the grill.
One of my favorite things to do with zucchini in the summer when they are prolific is to grill them,
mm-hmm,
chop them up.
Right.
And then, you know, you can grill them in slabs,
right,
so it's faster. And then after you take them off the grill, chop it up and toss it with the feta cheese,
uh-huh,
and
delicious,
a little bit of mint sometimes, or basil,
mm-hmm,
salt and pepper,
some olives.
Definitely. And oh, that's
some
a good idea. I haven't done
that
before.
Yeah, that's a terrific way to do it. And I do have to admit, though, I know some people are opposed to this whole idea. I did make zucchini muffins this week. I made a kind of zucchini bread. But they were really delicious. I finally grated the zucchini, so it was really adding...
And everything's coming back from the 70s.
Well, it is, absolutely. But I promise these were good. Not like the ones like my mom used to make where it was just like, we have to use the zucchini. These were really good. We had all kinds of spices in them, so it was delicious.
Let's see... Bob in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Good morning, ladies. Quick question. Compare dehydrating versus freezing. Which one lasts longer? Which one's better? Which one doesn't destroy taste or whatever?
Well, I would not freeze my tomatoes, but I would dehydrate them.
Right. I think it absolutely depends on what you're trying to do. And you can do the same thing. Like strawberries are beautiful frozen or dehydrated. Dehydrating tends to concentrate your flavors. In both cases, you're going to lose your texture on most things. Corn, you wouldn't. But tomatoes, you're going to lose texture. All your berries, you're going to lose the texture freezing or dehydrating. But love the idea for things like, you know, apples you can dehydrate, pears you can dehydrate, and they don't freeze very well unless you make a sauce. So there's great applications for both.
How about how long they last?
Well, if food is frozen, and you'd have to check with the USDA, but I think they'll say that it's good for a year. I mean, it's safe for you as long as it stays frozen. Really starts to break down in quality somewhere between 6 months and a year. Dehydrated might last a little bit longer under the right conditions. You know, it needs to be kept in a cool, dry place. You couldn't keep it, you know, in a humid place that's exposed to a lot of light.
And you want to Ziploc it.
Absolutely. Keep it in an airtight container for sure. And you could keep it probably, 18 months or so, but definitely has to be in a moisture-free environment for your dehydrated things.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Bob, thank you for the call. Let's see, what time is it? Oh, gosh, how it flies. 614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call and join the conversation. We're talking about what to cook in the summer with all this fresh produce out there. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a drought, and I know it's been hard on farmers this year. They've had actually a couple good years recently. But when I look at all the stuff out here today, it's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous and plentiful. I mean, there's not a few ears of corn. There are whole trucks of corn and watermelons and tomatoes. And I know that they've had to go to great lengths to water all their plants. But yeah, the things that I've seen here and at other farmers markets I visited through the year, through the summer, it's everything's looked delicious.
Beth in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Hi. I have a great idea for tomatillos. Years ago, I was in Manhattan, and I got a panini that had sliced grilled tomatillos on it, and it provided such a great texture and flavor to the sandwich that since then I came home and I've used it on raw sandwiches as well as grilled quesadillas, etc., and it's delicious.
What a great idea. And the first thing I think of, well, of course. Well, why not? Of course you could do that. But I would never have thought of that. And what a great flavor and texture it would add to any sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when you say, wait a minute, Beth, wait a minute.
Okay.
We got to deconstruct you a second. When you say you use them on raw sandwiches, you mean you slice them and use them raw?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. They're all very right. Crisp when they're raw, but they still have that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they could really hold up in a sandwich that you also have some tomatoes in there or maybe softer things, and they could really pull things together.
Right.
Right. And when we do it raw, we do it in lieu of the lettuce as well, so it's just tomatoes, and that provides the texture.
Right. Sounds great.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Beth.
Thank you.
We have a little bit of time left if you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What else? What have I not brought up today?
How about fruit? Salads. We haven't talked a great deal about grilling fruit. I kind of left
Well, you've
that
mentioned
off.
It. Well, you talked about watermelon. I'm so fascinated by that concept, and I'm going to do it. But tell us about other fruit grills.
Well, I love to do stone fruit and peaches, which are beautiful right now. I know we were all a little bit afraid we weren't going to have great peaches, but they are pretty delicious. I've had fantastic peaches. So take them, cut them in half, twist them so you get that you can get the stone out, the pit out of them. Again, brush them with a little bit of vegetable oil, probably in this case, and put them down to get the grill marks on them, and then take them off and put a scoop of Jenny's ice cream on it.
I'm making peach crisp tonight.
Oh, yum. Yum. And pies, too.
Anything with crisp.
Anything. Yeah, exactly. Because it's sugar, butter, and flour. What's not to like
and
about
oatmeal.
That?
And oatmeal.
Oats. Yum. Yeah, because it's healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
If you put oats in it, it's healthy.
I always put a little extra oats in it, too. I think the recipes don't ever say, put enough oats in it.
I agree with that. I do, for sure. And pies are the other thing. Blueberries are beautiful this year. And they're a fresh blueberry pie, two crust, gorgeous. But if you don't want to do the two crust, you could do the crumble on top, again, with oats in it. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to do it. And peach pies. There are some places that still have red raspberries. I think those make beautiful pies. Peaches and raspberries together, gorgeous.
And peaches and blueberries.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I made a peach blueberry crisp.
Mm-hmm. With extra oats.
Let's talk about crust just for a second about crust. That a lot of people are scared to make pies nowadays. I love to make pies.
Oh,
but,
I do too.
What are the secrets of a great crust in your opinion?
It's less the ingredients than it is the technique. You know, you need whatever you decide your fat is going to be. I use butter because I like the flavor. Some people use butter and vegetable shortening.
Crisco.
Right. And then some people use lard, and lard will give you the flakiest crust of all. But then it's a matter of you cut it in either by hand using a pastry cutter, but knives, or even your fingers. Cut it into your dry ingredients and then add whatever your liquid is. A little bit of water, ice water, cold. You can do a little bit of egg if you want to do that. That'll make the crust more tender. And then it's just not... Don't mix it like cookie dough. Don't mix it like cake. Really just toss it until it looks like it's kind of together. And then I form it into a ball, I flatten it into a disc, and I let it refrigerate to let that moisture distribute throughout. And then you can roll it out. I like my dough a little bit wetter than other people do, because then I can put more flour down and let it absorb it that way. But that's the key, is really just don't mess with it too
much.
Don't over process. Don't over mix your dough.
Vernique in Dublin, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, my parents just gave us some zucchini, and in the Moosewood cookbook, they had a recipe where you shred it and then let it just dehydrate a little bit, let it sit for half an hour, and squeeze the liquid out, mix it with some cheese, and use it as a base for a pizza crust. And that's how you bake it first. You bake it first, and then you put your toppings on, and then bake it again for the pizza. And that actually worked out really well, and it was nice and crispy. So, the original Moosewood cookbook.
Which is a book I love.
Oh, really? I have that book. Mm-hmm. Well, good, good. It's all tattered now. But,
right.
Oh, I'm going to check that out. That's a great idea.
And then, have any ideas for cucumber by any chance? My in-laws just brought me a bunch of cucumber besides cucumber salad.
Okay. We talked about that, a little bit earlier. You can put cucumbers on absolutely everything. Put them on your sandwiches. What else were we talking about? Making cucumber juice, using it in cocktails or punch. It's absolutely delicious for that. Just about anywhere you can use zucchini, you can use your cucumbers.
I was thinking cucumbers, if you're using it, the juice, the mm-hmm. liquids from it, a nice base for a vegetable soup.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And gazpacho, too. It'd be a nice cold
right.
Cucumber relishes and salsas. And we didn't talk about this, but you could definitely make little cucumber boats or little cucumber circles and put then, a cheese spread, a little bit of pimento cheese on it, and have that as an appetizer. It works really great that way.
I've seen that on Pinterest.
Of course.
Vernique, thanks a lot for your call. We're going to move on real quickly to Bob in Columbus. Try to squeeze in another one there. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. With all the basil we've got, I'm making homemade pesto, but I put it in freezer bags, put it in the freezer, and after a couple of days it just turned brown. What do I need to do, or what am I doing wrong?
Well, there's a couple things. Basil is an incredibly tender herb, so it doesn't like exposure to air. You can do two things. You can blanch your basil before you process it, and I mean put it in boiling water for about 10 seconds. Ooh, gosh, that'd be a mistake. 10 seconds. Cool it and then puree it. The other thing you can do, and this is why I tend to use an ice cube tray instead of a plastic bag, is then after I put the pesto in, I leave a little bit of space and I put olive oil on top of it. And what that does is it's protecting the basil, it's protecting the pesto. It's
like
making
a preservative?
Exactly. It's like an air, it's actually like a cap, like you've covered it up, and then it won't turn colors. And the other thing you can do is a little bit of acid, a little bit of lemon juice if you're not already doing that. That helps too.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your call. I'm going to really try to squeeze in Brian. Brian, we're running out of time. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening, or good afternoon.
No pressure. Yep.
Yeah, really. Hey, my wife actually was walking through the woods the other day and came across what we've determined to be pawpaws, and I was wondering if you have any suggestions what we could do with them.
All right.
Oh, pawpaws are that great Ohio fruit, and I do think it's only in Ohio. It's indigenous to Ohio. And you can use them as a fruit.
Well, there's Pawpaw, Michigan, so there must be pawpaws there, too.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Sorry.
That's okay.
The Michigander in you. you can use them for ice cream, puree that fruit and use it in ice cream. You can use all kinds of ways. You can use it as a puree like you would use maybe applesauce. Use it in muffins. Delicious that way, too. And there's a whole Pawpaw Festival coming up in Athens.
Brian, thanks for the call. We have run out of time. Robin Davis, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. So fun to be here.
Really appreciate it. Robin Davis, food editor for the Columbus Dispatch. I want to thank our all-side staff. This is the last time I'm going to be working with some of them because they include my interns. Associate producer Amy Jurovich, full-time permanent staff. All-sides intern Corinne Gleckler. All-sides production assistants Rachel Ramey and Leticia Wiggins, interns. All-sides volunteer Andrew Sweet, intern. With video production by Rich and Amber Karsminski. Alan DiCenzo is the composer of our theme music. WOSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson. With us today, Radio Operations Director Kevin Petrola. Couldn't do it without you, Kev. And Senior Broadcast Technician Eric French. Likewise, Eric. Thanks for listening to our live broadcast from Columbus Public Health's Farmers Market. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.